everybody. I'm Lisa Burwell, your host of V Speaks Conversations with Heart and Soul, and I am the founder and editor of V Magazine, a luxury lifestyle magazine that is distributed all around the globe with a very robust digital following. And I am so pleased to be here at the second annual Redfish Film Festival. How fun is this? And there are so many things going on, so many conversations and topics going on today that I am just very, very excited to bring a different conversation that I don't think too many people are talking about. But I think from what you're doing and what I'm hearing both of you saying, that we're going to hear a lot more about NASA.
Absolutely.
With Megan Cruz, who has debuted or is debuting in 1 hour far out. And that's something that I hope to get to see as well. If I don't get to see it today, I'll get to see it after.
Fantastic.
And then we have Rebecca from NASA.
Yes. Hello.
Hello. Hello, everybody. We're going to space right now and learning all about it. I have been binge watching some podcasts of late. And NASA and going to the moon and Elon, everything that is going on right now, it seems like it has taken center stage. And that is something like very timely all of a sudden. And I want to know what you all think about that. You first, being in charge of all that you are in charge of with NASA.
Well, first of all, it's an honor, right? It's an honor to serve, and it's an honor to be behind NASA and to really help be a part of sharing NASA's story with the world and for the benefit of all. Right. We all grew up with NASA. We all grew up with dreaming and looking up at the stars. And I get to be a part of telling that story. And I think it's an incredible story to tell. And it's very current. And also to know that anybody can do it. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, you can dream of going to space for a night. Mm-hmm. Anybody can be an astronaut. Anybody can apply for a job at NASA, which I think is pretty cool. And that's something that people feel isn't possible, you know. Mm-hmm. And our whole thing is saying that we carry on at NASA, we make the impossible possible.
Amazing.
Which is true.
And how long have you been in this position?
I've been at NASA for about 3 years now.
Okay. And have you seen like an exponential explosion, or is it just that me as a layperson is all of a sudden, like in the last 4 months, cannot turn a TV on without hearing about it? Who is
well,
one of you responsible for that?
I'll say that we all are. I think we're doing a good job now.
Yeah.
I think maybe because Megan and I are
doing a little bit.
I'm joking. We have a massive team, and everybody, our job, and it is our job. In fact, it was part of the Space Act Agreement of 1958, if I'm correct.
Can't fact check you on that one. but
it is in our charter to share our story with the world. Mm-hmm. Like, it's part of it. It's part of the deal. It's part of the deal of being at NASA. And so we're doing a good job at it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to roll with it. We're going to keep on telling those stories.
Right.
Well, and to your point, you know, you said maybe it just seems like in the last couple of months we've really been talking about it. But I think it's the conversation has been around now for a long time. So much more is happening in the commercial sector that is bringing more people who might not have just innately been following NASA. It's another venue that, you know, is a reason why they should be interested, right? Like someone who, yeah, likes SpaceX, you know, someone who likes Blue Origin. Now it's also just another opportunity for us to talk to people about what we do at NASA. So it's just the space industry now is growing. And I think with that comes a lot more news about space.
Right.
And I'll say that a lot of people think, oh, it's NASA versus SpaceX or NASA versus, you know, we're partners.
Right.
We're going together.
Right.
And that's something that does get lost in translation because people don't really think that we're a part of the SpaceX missions and SpaceX. And we're all working together. Like, we're all working together to go to the moon.
Right.
And people don't realize that. It's not, it's we have to do it to pull off something major like that.
So you're based in Cape Canaveral.
Yeah, Kennedy Space Center.
Kennedy Space Center. Mm-hmm. And you are in D.C.
Yep.
A native, or you just used to live in Panama City?
I was born and raised here. I
you
am a native.
That is so impressive.
Oh,
it's so exciting. Welcome home.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that is so amazing.
I love it here. I'm so proud. And, you know, I grew up there. There wasn't much to do around here.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was a judge here for a long time, Judge Sermons. And And I grew up going, you know, I wanted to learn about film. I would go to Books A Million and like read a book about film. They didn't teach it in schools, mm-hmm. nothing like that. And I got to get out. I went to Los Angeles, you know, I was an executive for a long time, television, and then obviously NASA came a knocking, just kind of how we fall into these things. Yeah. But there was literally a job on usajobs.gov, and a friend of mine told me I should apply because I just so happened to have the perfect background for it.
Which is what exactly, with all of that film background, is it basically messaging and storytelling or
for me, well, I was an executive, I was a television executive, and I also was behind like building streaming platforms. So I have a lot of tech background. Okay. I went to the University of Central Florida. There's a lot of weird engineering that goes into it as well. Just so happened to know. Also, everybody in my family was involved in government except me. And I was like, never, no. And I felt this calling, like this duty, this sense of duty.
To serve.
And it was an honor. It was an honor. And I was like, well, I have the perfect background for it. I know what I'm doing. I also, growing up here, I know how to do something with nothing. Right. Like, I didn't, I wasn't exposed to anything. I had to learn how to do it myself. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and I love teaching. And I love, like, I like to say I instigate people to tell stories and ask. I'm like, what about this? But I love, like, encouraging others and getting people to say, you can make this documentary. This story is valuable. Your voice is valuable to be heard.
Mm-hmm. And the film that you're hosting, which I look forward to, is it geared toward kids?
Yeah, kids, families, you know, it's really anyone who is looking to discover more about NASA, right? I think people have this very specific idea when they think about NASA that it's just launching rockets and astronauts, but there's so much more involved and so many more people involved in making space exploration possible. So what does that look like? The science behind the rocketry, the science that flies up on the rocket and then does things in space, the satellites that then beam back information and data to us. Like, there is so much that we can really dig into and it really opened the door to NASA to more people and for them to understand how it really truly benefits them on Earth. So it's just me just getting to go around cool places at NASA. And like, for example, our first episode, which we are debuting here, or not debuting here, but screening here, is about the delicate balance of the environment as well as having a spaceport at Kennedy Space Center. So what people don't know is that the spaceport is actually only 5% of Kennedy Space Center. The other part is 95% protected wildlife habitat. And balancing that, you know, need to protect our Earth and wildlife is very important to NASA, even though, yes, our primary goal is to launch rockets. So the first episode just really digs into that and shows kind of the wildlife that we try to protect, again, alongside launching rockets.
Weird question I'm about to ask. I went there with my husband maybe 13 years ago. Mm-hmm. We did the tour and all that.
Nice.
Does it continue to grow? More and more people every year like going, or did it wane and now it's coming back again? Tell me about like that as not as a tourist attraction, but more maybe as an educational attraction. How are people digesting all of that at NASA right now? Is it still booming?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's definitely booming. And it's changing, right? Like you said, so before the focus was shuttle, right? That was like the last big mission that people were very aware of what NASA was doing and how we were launching astronauts to the International Space Station. But then after that, shuttle went away, right? So then we needed to figure out another way for NASA to send astronauts to the space station. So then came the commercial crew program, and that is a new way for us to launch our astronauts. And now we're focusing on Artemis, which is returning astronauts to the moon. So as NASA finds its own way through, you know, the field that is, you know, space exploration right now, we have to adapt with how things are changing. So in that way, I think that there's definitely a shift in how people might be recognizing NASA, right? Because it's not just this one program that defines us. Right. Because we are working with so many other commercial partners, there are other ways for us to branch out. So I think people are still learning our branches, but
yes, which I'd like you to share with the audience.
Yeah,
too. Absolutely.
So prior to us going on air, it was my question about like SpaceX and then the defense and then NASA and how all of that plays into
what the billionaires, the three billionaires are doing with their own private, and how you all have to work together, and it all has to funnel. And I said earlier, like, you're the host, right? Okay, so explain that to the audience.
Yes, that's a great question. And it's something, you know, I was saying earlier, we're SpaceX, Blue Origin, like, we all work with, you know, our their partners. We call them our commercial partners. Like, again, we're going to the moon together with SpaceX. So, and for us, we are, you know, we're the client. You know, and excuse me, we're the customer, right? And they're and they're serving us, and we have these agreements with them, and we partner with them so that we can pull off, you know, make the impossible possible, right? Because it is very expensive. Space is hard. Space is expensive, and the best way to do it is through commercial partnerships, which is how industry works.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, that's that, and it's good because it's also faster. You know, but it's also a delicate balance, right? Like, I mean, things happen, things can go wrong. And so like, how do you do that? And NASA, the great thing about NASA is NASA has the experience, right? I mean, from Apollo, right? Went through a lot of, you know, with Apollo, the shuttle era, like there's history there. So we've learned our lessons. And so I feel like that's the most, in my opinion, is that, it's we bring that to the table, that expertise, you know. So they're like, oh, you should do that, you know. And it's great to have like more partners, the better.
Exactly.
I think we also bring the structure, you know what I mean? We're the ones saying, hey, I think that there would be benefit in us returning to the moon. Hey, I think there would be benefit to us going to Mars and farther. And then that's, and then we're the ones who go out to the commercial partner and say, hey, can you help us with this? And the reason we do that is because what Rebecca said, I mean, it's expensive, right? So by going out and seeking those services from commercial companies, it allows us to do other things that we want to do, right? We do a lot of earth sciences. We do, just a lot of other things in other scientific disciplines that if we free up what we typically have done in the past ourselves and we give that to other commercial partners, we can do more.
So you know how when anything is basically birthed, you know, there's like a growth spurt and then maybe there's a plateau. Am I correct in my layman's understanding that possibly we had plateaued to some degree with all the initiatives that we know, the shuttle and Apollo and all that, and then maybe in the last 6, maybe 10 years, that there is this new exponential information and technology, and is that why we're here talking about this right now? Because it's kind of like space 2.0 or NASA 2.0?
I feel like there's a new surge. I mean, again, you know, you want... We are one NASA. We're all, you know, we're on this together. But I feel like because of the advancement in technology, but I really feel because of commercial partnerships, so we're able to move and do more faster. Like, you know, I'll say, you know, there's a lot of tech. There's a lot of new technology. There's the James Webb Space Telescope. I don't want to lose sight of those beautiful images. You know, remember when they came back during the pandemic? And it gave us... For me personally, and I was not at NASA at this time, but seeing those images gave me hope. It restored that wonder that we were all missing, right? We were all in our home, but we got to see those images. You know, and just a dream to look at something that's so outside of ourselves together.
And America still is truly like light years ahead in this technology, and it is.
Yeah, we're still the leader.
The leader. In a big way, I still think.
Absolutely. And the great thing, you know, with Artemis and as well is that we're working with also international partners, right? So again, it's like we're all going together, you know, and we are leading. And there is a space race, right? There is a space race, and we're going to win it.
Okay. And what are some messaging that I'm understanding from what you're saying is like, it is such a possible impediment to, you know, with that much force to go to space. Is that why you're definitely cognizant of that and you're making sure that anything you can do to, like, not disturb basically Earth while you're going to space, and that's why you have all that land around there preserved? Is that part of the messaging as well, where environmentally, you want to be environmentally sound, and that's why you were saying that, you know, you weren't disturbing the area around in Cape Canaveral.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the reasons why Kennedy Space Center and that location was chosen for Kennedy Space Center was that it was wide open, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. But NASA did understand that this was a wide open space where we have a ton of different kinds of birds and fish and mm-hmm. animals and reptiles. Mm-hmm. So we just wanted to respect yeah. that. Again, NASA is not just about going to space yeah. because our at our core, it's exploring for the benefit of all. So to us, it's really important to make sure that we take care of our Earth. Yes. So yeah, so in yes. that way, you know, we do have a separate set of people at Kennedy Space Center that specifically watch out for our wildlife. Mm-hmm. When you were asking about the force of it, actually what's funny and what we discovered in this episode is that these launches don't really bother the animals
there.
No, okay. No, not at all. I mean, they might get startled and they fly off. Right. So you know, you see a rocket okay. launch, you see birds
well,
fly
that's
away.
Good to
but
know.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah. No, really, it doesn't. Yeah. Does it? Okay. It's more just like, hey, and this is another thing we learned from this episode, because the space center is a protected area, like, you know, there's security around, there's a perimeter, those animals are actually living their best life. Because there's not, you know, there's not...
extra protected.
Exactly. They're yeah. extra protected. Nobody is trying to build on the land. It's just yeah. us. And you know, NASA already has such deep respect for the animals there.
Right. Amazing. So what has been your takeaway from being here so far in the last couple of days with this festival?
Well, I mean, I'm proud.
Yeah.
Right? I'm proud to work at NASA, be at NASA, mm-hmm. be at NASA at this time, NASA 2.0,
yes.
I believe
yes.
you called it that. Yeah. I also I'm proud to be from here. You mm. know, I dreamed of this yeah. existing as a kid.
Yeah.
And now I get to, you know, I want to make sure that kids growing up here mm-hmm. or people who might want to work at NASA one day or mm-hmm. be a filmmaker one day, mm-hmm. they can do it
mm-hmm.
or and share stories,
mm-hmm.
right? And tell, hey, I grew up here. And by the way, if I can work at NASA, you can work at NASA.
Right. Well, it is remarkable what this downtown looks like,
mm-hmm.
isn't it? I mean, have
yeah,
you been
beautiful.
Here before?
No, first time, and I love it. It's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
Really.
The community, the mom and pop stores. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. And you must, like,
yes.
expect this to
oh,
the
Instagram. Oh, the first time I came here last year,
okay.
and, you know, when Kevin first shared with me uh-huh. this idea, and coming here and seeing, I mean, I teared up. Because
mm-hmm.
I remember little Rebecca,
yeah.
you know, growing up here and not really knowing, you know, and this brings people and we can inspire the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's beautiful.
Right.
This is how Sundance began.
Right.
Oh, yeah. It is.
Yeah.
It's true.
I love it.
It is how Sundance started.
Oh, yeah. Well, I
start somewhere. You
interviewed
know?
Kevin earlier today and I asked what were some of his goals and basically, you know, that's
yeah.
one of them, and to be the best.
There's nothing wrong with that. And now
right.
Sundance, you know, Sundance got so big it
and
had to move to Colorado.
Right.
You know,
right.
now
right.
we're going to make sure our version of Sundance stays in Panama right. City. But this is pretty darn special.
Right.
Yeah.
So what is your title?
So I'm the general manager and head of NASA Plus.
Okay. And your title?
I'm a public affairs specialist, so I specifically work on our broadcast out of Kennedy Space Center. So I'm the lead of that team over there.
And do you make trips to D.C. often, or are you mostly?
Sometimes,
yeah.
yeah. I'm mostly at Kennedy. You know, what's really cool about yeah. working at Kennedy is that everything yeah. usually terminates there, right? Like
right.
all the work is being done at different centers across the country, NASA centers across the country. But where does it usually launch from? It's Kennedy, so...
Right.
I'm particularly biased about
okay.
Kennedy Space Center.
It's way cooler. Okay. Of course, it's in D.C., and it's a lot of where all the,
yeah.
you know.
So do you think you'll be making more films like this? Like, is this going to be
so. Well, that's a question for her.
I'm
going to be making
Will this be a medium
yes.
to continue to
yes.
communicate the messaging?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And the great thing about, I'm just going to talk her up for a second. So Megan here, not only does she, you know, she's created this amazing series, but she also is the host of all her live broadcasts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I want, you know, I'm really mm-hmm. want this dedicated to kids to learn about what's happening at NASA in a very basic, fun
mm-hmm.
level.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're right, people have kind of lost sight. They don't really know what NASA does. They're
mm-hmm.
like, it's confusing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we owe it to the public to share a story
mm-hmm.
as simply as possible
mm-hmm.
and really connect. Because coming from television, I'll say, and I hate to say this, but it's true, third grade level, keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it simple for people. And don't make people feel like they aren't smart or they don't get it. Don't make people feel like that. Right. Don't make it elitist. Like this is we can share this story.
Right.
You don't even know the story. I'm watching your reaction as well, but we just had to take a student to work day at Kennedy Space Center. And there were so many kids who walked up to me and said, I watched Far Out and here they are like
really?
Spouting. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And they were like, I love that part about the gopher tortoise where you said to put it in like this because it might pee on you. And I saw that for scrub jays, like they like peanuts. And the fact that like these kids, like 10 and younger even, remembered it and could say it back to me.
Wow.
I was like, this is exactly what NASA wants. NASA wants to share this with a new generation because they're going to be our future explorers or future scientists.
Right.
So it's really special.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's great feedback.
Yeah.
When you said earlier that like anyone can go to, like, talk a little bit about that, because to me, again, I'm just going to tell you my layman, it was like only the very elite, the very chosen could be astronauts. Okay, so what do you mean when you say that?
Anybody can apply. USAjobs.gov, I feel like I'm selling
You said that a quit.
But it's true. When I heard, in fact, I've heard it from an astronaut. An astronaut said US, I was like, oh, okay. I didn't know, I applied there to be at NASA. Mm-hmm. You can go through an application trail because the thing about the government, which I did not know, and maybe others too, but I didn't know, everybody's treated equally. You go in, you apply, just like everybody else. Same thing. Anybody can apply to be an astronaut. We have astronaut recruitment. You go through, you apply. Yes, you have to qualify to be able to do certain things,
right?
But anybody can apply. And I think that's a very important detail.
It is, because it opens the field up exponentially, and a lot of people are probably not going to qualify at all with this very big, let's call it open door policy.
Yes.
But then many will that weren't even ever considering it. So you'll have a better pool of people to choose from, basically.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because for the longest time, it was very narrow, right? The qualifications, very few people fit it, right? But now, actually, NASA likes people who come from different backgrounds because that really opens the door to how they can contribute to NASA, right? Like geologists, when they go up to the moon, you know, now they can really help with the exploration of the lunar surface. So really, they do encourage a lot of people with different backgrounds. Just throw your name in the hat. I think there's only like three things. Like you have to have a master's degree in a particular science field, but it's just like three things.
Right.
It's not
as prohibitive as people might think.
Maybe that also is attributed to technology. And there's so much technology now that might be doing the work of like what a man would have to do like 30 years ago or something like that too.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. I feel like, with NASA, there were just a lot of things that are much simpler than I thought were, you know, it really kind of blew my mind how it all worked.
It's probably technology.
Yeah.
It's made all of our lives better and easier and quicker. And technology has come so far and it has to be felt in your discipline.
Well, and some of technology exists because of NASA.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like GPS, that was a NASA thing.
So
a lot of our technological advancements with cell phones is because the science behind all of that.
Yeah.
We needed to explore space.
Yeah.
So you're welcome, everyone.
It's obviously not us, but
would either one of you, just curious, want to go to space?
I would totally.
Me too.
I would totally.
I'm probably
absolutely.
Too tall though.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm
why?
Probably too short.
We're like, happy you.
No.
I would love to.
Are you kidding?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. In a heartbeat.
Okay.
Would you?
I don't know.
Oh,
what? Isn't that crazy?
Mm. You don't know.
I don't know. I've actually like thought about this a lot in the last couple of weeks, actually.
Interesting.
You know, I think I thought of it when the women went up on
Katy Perry.
That whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, I don't know.
But that's interesting. See, I love, one thing, what I really loved about that event is that people then thought about it.
Well, yeah.
It planted the seed. It was like, oh,
right.
Okay. Let me think about that, you know, and that conversation I think is important. It's like, oh, maybe I can aspire to do something around that, you know, in the future.
I mean, I respect and appreciate the exploration part of it and the, you know, the adventure and the, you know, voyage of it all, which I find, you know, very fascinating. But I don't know. I did want to go to space before, but now I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. It's I'm sure I'll change my mind.
Mars? What about Mars?
Well, I don't know.
That's farther. It's exponentially farther than like the space station. So. Yeah.
I mean, I think maybe it's just to me like a little scary.
Of course.
It's probably worse. You know, in respect for the fact that, you know,
it takes a lot. Yeah.
You know, it's not cut out for everybody at the moment. Yeah. Know? But it will be really interesting to see, like, in the next 20 years, like, what happens in the next 20 years regarding space exploration. Mm-hmm. I really do feel very strongly that it's not going to go anywhere, mm-hmm. and that we are on one of those fast track trajectories.
Oh, yeah.
That it's going to change, like, exponentially.
Yeah.
I do really believe that.
And I feel like the more stories we share, the more... That's what drives me, right? Yeah. I have a six-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
Right? And kind of what planted the seed for me to even think about working at NASA was that I was trying to watch Bob and Doug go up.
Oh, yeah. You told me this. Yeah.
And I couldn't find it. And I was like, ah, oh, I want to just watch on YouTube. Why isn't this streaming on Netflix? Why was it not, you know? And I was trying to find it. Mm. And I actually called a friend of mine who was producing for the Discovery Plus at the time. Mm. And I was like, where is it? And he's like, oh, it's on YouTube. I was like, okay. But I was like, okay, I want to make this accessible for the future generation. Mm-hmm. For my daughter to be able, maybe one day, if she wants to, I don't know, go to Mars one day, I want her to have this experience, to plant that seed. Mm-hmm. And so it's like that's what drives me, to make sure that this is accessible. Anybody can watch NASA, anybody can find it, watch it wherever in the world for free, you know, at any point. And, you know.
So you're opening up the information portal to the world. That's what it sounds like to me right now. And I think that was a really good call, because there was some level of... mystique mixed with not an open door policy, right? So it sounds like what you're both doing.
We've always had an open door policy. It's just that, you know, in the last couple of years, we've really seen the pathways, the opportunities to put stuff out there. It exploded, right?
It did.
So what we were, I think, as an agency dealing with was we were putting out information everywhere. Mm-hmm. And in that way, it kind of is like, where do you go and find the information? So now we're trying to curate it down so you know exactly where you can go to find NASA stories and NASA content. Yeah. So
amazing.
It took a lot of work, but we have great people. I mean, thank God, Megan, you know, you're doing far out, because it's for the future generation, you know? Yeah. And if we want to go to Mars one day, we have plant seeds now.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think it's so fascinating. It's going to be very interesting to see how all of this plays out, but it's getting a lot of airtime right now.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, like,
did you see the dolphins in Crew 9 with a good cast? I'm just joking. We did not make that happen.
No, we did not. Everybody was very surprised.
We were like, there's dolphins.
Yeah.
Cue the dolphins.
We did.
Action.
Yeah.
That was surprising. Yeah. That was when, our Crew 9 astronauts returned from the International Space Station.
Which
they splashed
down.
Yeah. And they splashed down in the ocean, and lo and behold, there were dolphins waiting. Yeah.
And that right there, to me, signified what NASA is about.
Uh-huh.
It's like humanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wonder, awe.
And we're all here, even the dolphins.
Right.
We're all here together.
Right.
You know, and just how beautiful it is, and also how precious Earth is.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're, you know, again, I haven't been to the moon, but you look back and Earth is so, like, we're so vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just so important. You know, we're all in this together, right?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people are saying, too, that part of why some of the exploration is happening, too, is some people are of the impression that, like, the Earth as we know it and all of the people, it's, like, somewhat unsustainable unless we go find, like, new frontiers. And there's probably a lot of validity to the reality of that. Now, how long will that take to get there? Will we need other planets? But it's probably going to happen.
I think the beauty of NASA is that we do just collect a lot of data, and how people choose to then use that data could be different ways, right? It could be to make the case of maybe we do need to find another place to be, but also it could be like, hey, we can now take this information and improve the Earth that we do have.
Yeah. Exactly.
So that is what's great about NASA, that we do all of these research projects, that we make the information that we gather available to the public, and they can advance it how they see fit.
That's good to always say, and I like that you had said it too, about all the advances in technology that NASA was able to create and then share with
And it's free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, yes, tax, you know, tax and all that, but we then give it back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And something that, you know, it's important with science to acknowledge, but also with exploration. You cannot stop exploring.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, and to really get to brass tacks, but, you know, this country wasn't, wasn't founded just on a whim. It was exploration.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. And exploration drives innovation.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa. You have to have both.
Yes, and I agree. Wow. Any parting words of wisdom to anybody out there that's listening about what you want them to know or places that you want them to get information?
Yeah, just follow along with us. You know, this is not something that we want to be doing in a vacuum. We do want people to join us for this journey, and it is going to be an amazing journey. As you said, a lot has changed even in the last couple of years. Yeah. Think about the next couple of years, you know?
Definitely.
So yeah, NASA Plus, NASA has, different ways that we tell the story that we hope appeal to different audiences, right? We do know people, some people have been watching for decades and they know NASA inside out, but sometimes we have a six-year-old who's watching for the first time, and we really hope that we can appeal to people of different ages and different backgrounds to follow along with us.
Awesome. Well, I think you're both very interesting and great spokespeople for this program too. I mean, it definitely is very heartwarming and appealing, basically. And thank you for sharing all of that information.
Thank you. Thank you for asking great questions.
This is fun. I was like, I can keep going.
Well, one more question I have to
ask absolutely.
You.
Uh-oh.
So when you're across,
when you're
across the street from the White House, right?
We're near the Capitol.
Okay.
A couple blocks over.
So in your job, do you actually go to like Senate hearings, or are you dealing with the
So we're under the executive branch. Mm-hmm. So the president.
Yeah.
You're like, yes, I
know. Yes.
Yes. So we're under the executive branch. So we have the administrator, which currently, we're
in the process of filling.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And now we have legislative affairs who work with the Capitol and whatnot. So I'm in the Office of Communications.
Mm-hmm.
So we deal with, you know, distributing information to the public.
Right.
And so that's on my end, but we work with the press secretary and deputy press secretary and that sort of thing, just to make sure everything's all in line and aligned with administration as well as NASA as a whole. So it's more of that, but yeah, we work hand in hand with the executive branch.
I love it. Thank you both so much. And we're going to be needing to get to your presentation.
Yeah, we're going right now. All three of us.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks, everybody. I hope you learned a lot. I know I did. It's very exciting. Stay tuned. Have a good day, everyone. Bye-bye.